All right, welcome back everyone to the deep dive. You know, one of the things that I'm always thinking about, and I'm sure you are too, is how to deliver software better, faster, more reliably. And
absolutely. It's the constant challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So I was really excited to take a look at this report, the CD Foundation State of CI/CD Report 2024. It's a pretty comprehensive look at, well, how we're doing. And
it is, and it's based on a massive amount of data. Slash Data put this together for the Continuous Delivery Foundation, and they surveyed, get this, over 150,000 developers across the globe. And they didn't just do it once. They've been running these Developer Nation surveys for a while now, 8 of them between Q3 2020 and Q1 2024. So we've got some really interesting trends to dig into.
That's a lot of data points to connect. Wow.
Yeah.
So maybe for those who are just joining us or need a quick refresher, CI/CD, Continuous Integration and Continuous Delivery, it's like the engine behind those rapid software updates we've all come to expect. It's about automating the whole process of getting code changes into production quickly and without breaking things.
Exactly. And of course, CI/CD is a key part of the bigger DevOps picture. That's all about collaboration and automation across every stage of software development.
Right, right. So for this deep dive, our mission is to pull out the most important insights about how DevOps is being adopted, how software delivery performance is changing, and what role CI/CD tools and all these other DevOps technologies are playing. We want to do that in a way that you can, you know, walk away with a clear understanding of the key trends without having to read the whole report yourself.
Precisely. Let's distill it down to the good stuff.
Perfect, yeah. Let's start with the overall DevOps adoption, the big picture.
Mm.
Seems like there are a lot of developers involved in DevOps-related activities these days.
There are. It's pretty impressive. As of Q1 2024, 83% of developers say they're involved in some way. That really shows how much DevOps has become the standard way to develop software.
83%, that's a huge number. Though I did notice it's down slightly from the peak in Q1 2023. Any idea why we might be seeing that dip?
Yeah, good catch. Looks like it's mostly because of new developers coming into the field. The report found that about a quarter, 25% of developers with less than 2 years of experience aren't involved in any DevOps activities yet. So while the overall picture is very positive, there might be a bit of a learning curve there.
So it takes a little time for those new folks to really get onboarded with DevOps practices. Makes sense. But it's still, the overall involvement is still higher than it was back in Q1 2022, so the general trend is still upward.
Absolutely. And another interesting point is that the report suggests developers are actually concentrating on a smaller set of activities, consolidating their efforts, if you will. We've seen this over the last year and a half or so.
Consolidation.
Yeah.
You mean instead of everyone trying to do everything under the DevOps banner, they're focusing on what really matters for them.
Exactly. As teams get more experience with DevOps, they figure out which practices deliver the biggest impact for their specific needs and workflows, so it becomes more targeted, more efficient.
Makes sense. Okay, let's shift gears and look at how DevOps involvement varies depending on the size of the company.
Sure. It looks like medium-sized businesses are the most enthusiastic about DevOps. Those are the ones with, say, 51 to 1,000 employees. They've got a 90% involvement rate.
90%, wow. That's impressive. What about the smaller companies and the really big enterprises?
So both small businesses, those with 250 employees, and large enterprises with over 1,000 employees are at 88%. And what's really interesting is they've both seen big growth since Q1 2022. Small businesses are up 4 percentage points and large enterprises by 3. It shows that DevOps is working for companies of all sizes.
And how about freelancers? Where do they stand?
Freelancers have been pretty steady, around 79% for the last couple of years. Maybe for them, the types of projects they take on mean that their DevOps involvement stays pretty consistent.
Right, that makes sense. So we've looked at company size. Now, are there any interesting variations in DevOps adoption across different software sectors?
Oh yeah, definitely. The one that really stands out is industrial IoT developers. They're the most involved at 90%, which is interesting because games developers actually have the lowest involvement at 80%.
Hmm, that's a pretty big difference. Any theories on why that might be?
Well, it probably comes down to the nature of their work and how often they release updates. Industrial IoT, they need things to be super reliable, and they're constantly updating and making changes. Games development, on the other hand, might have longer release cycles and more focus on things like design and user experience rather than, you know, constantly pushing out tiny code changes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I also noticed something interesting about MLAI developers and data scientists.
Oh, yeah. How the tables have turned, right?
Exactly. MLAI developers are now more involved in DevOps at 85% compared to data scientists who were at 83%.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the other way around before?
It was. The report suggests that a lot of new developers coming into MLAI already have a strong background in software development, so they're bringing those DevOps skills with them. Data science, on the other hand, might be attracting folks with less traditional software development experience, which could explain the slight dip.
Interesting. So we're seeing that DevOps is being adopted across the board, but there's some really interesting variations depending on company size, experience level, and the type of software being built.
Now let's get down to the nitty-gritty and look at the specific practices that developers are using.
All right, sounds good. So the data from Q1 2024 compared to Q3 2023 shows that creating automated regression tests and validation checks is still super popular at around 33%. And building CI/CD pipelines is right up there too at 29%. We've also seen a small bump in folks programmatically managing IT infrastructures up to 29% now.
So a clear focus on automating testing, delivery, and managing infrastructure. But where do continuous delivery and continuous integration themselves rank in terms of popularity? Good question. Continuous delivery deployment is at 29%, which is a nice jump from 25% in Q3 2023. Continuous integration is at 30%, though it did dip a bit from 33%. Interestingly, CI and CD are the fourth and fifth most popular activities, respectively.
That's kind of surprising. You'd think those would be top of the list given their, well, the whole point of CI/CD.
Right. It might mean that a lot of developers are engaged in activities that support CI/CD, like we just talked about. But maybe the way they're actually integrating and delivering code is really diverse and doesn't always get captured as a separate activity in the survey. Just a thought. Other high priority practices include testing for security vulnerabilities, which is at 33%, approving code deployments at 21%, and monitoring software and infrastructure performance at 20%.
It's great to see security testing being taken so seriously. So it seems like there's a whole toolbox of DevOps practices that developers are using.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the actual tools that they're using to implement all of this. What are the most popular ones?
Source control management and issue tracking are still at the top of the list. No surprise there, they're essential for any team working together on software. In Q1 2024, source control management was used by 29% of developers, a slight increase from 28%, and issue tracking jumped to 26%, up from 23%.
Okay, so those are the staples. Any other interesting trends in tool usage?
It looks like AI-assisted coding tools and agile project management tools are holding steady at 19% and 22% respectively. But here's something a bit unexpected. The report actually shows a gradual decline in the usage of many specific DevOps technologies over time. However, their relative popularity compared to each other has remained pretty much the same.
A decline, huh? That seems odd given how much DevOps adoption is increasing.
It does, right. The report suggests a couple of possible explanations. One is that the number of developers is growing all the time, and there are tons of new tools popping up. So the proportion using a specific tool might go down a bit, but the total number of users could still be going up. Another possibility is that as DevOps matures, developers are narrowing down their choices and focusing on a smaller set of integrated tools that work best for them.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've covered who's involved in DevOps, the practices they're using, and the tools they're choosing. But the big question is, how is all of this actually impacting software delivery performance? You mentioned the DORA metrics earlier.
Right. The DORA metrics, those are the gold standard for understanding how well teams are delivering software. We're talking about lead time for code changes, deployment frequency, and time to restore service. These metrics are really tied to how successful a company is overall.
So let's take a closer look at those. Let's start with lead time for code changes. What's the trend there?
Well, the news isn't as good as you might hope. Over the last 3.5 years, there hasn't been a clear improvement. The top performers, those who can get code changes into production in less than a day, are only at 14% in Q1 2024. That number has actually fluctuated quite a bit over time. And worryingly, the number of low performers, those taking more than a month, has been going up.
So even with all this focus on DevOps, we're not seeing a consistent improvement in how fast we get code to users.
Yeah, it's a bit of a head scratcher. The report suggests it could be because DevOps makes it possible to take on more complex projects, but those projects might also be inherently more time consuming.
So we're building more sophisticated things, but not necessarily delivering them faster.
Mm-hmm.
What about how often we're deploying new software? Deployment frequency? Any good news there?
Not really. We're actually seeing a slight but steady decrease in the number of top performers, the ones deploying multiple times per day. They're down to 9% now. It could be that some teams are shifting their focus away from super frequent deployments, or maybe it's just harder to maintain that speed as systems get more complex.
Less frequent deployments from the top performers. That's not ideal. What about the other end of the spectrum, the teams who deploy less often?
That's where we see a big change. More and more developers are deploying less than once a month. In Q1 2024, it was a whopping 40%. That's a really significant portion of the developer population.
So there's a growing divide between those who are deploying very frequently and those who are not. Okay, last DORAR metric, time to restore service. How quickly are teams able to bounce back from problems?
Well, the good news is the top performers, those who can restore service in under an hour, have stayed pretty consistent at about 11% since Q3 2022. But that's actually down from 17% back in Q3 2020. So even though a core group is really good at recovering quickly, overall, things haven't improved much.
Okay, stable at the top, but what about the teams who struggle to recover quickly?
Unfortunately, that group is getting bigger. The number of low performers, those taking over a week to restore service, has been climbing steadily and now sits at 41%. That's a pretty big red flag. It means that while some teams are really good at handling incidents, a growing number are really struggling to get things back up and running quickly.
So across all three DORA metrics, we're seeing a concerning trend. Fewer top performers and more low performers. It seems like just adopting DevOps isn't enough to guarantee better performance.
Exactly. It really shows how important it is to implement DevOps effectively and to keep optimizing your processes. It's not a one-and-done solution.
And what about the idea that you can achieve both speed and stability? Is that still holding true?
Absolutely. The latest data really confirms that there's a strong correlation between speed and stability. Developers who struggle with lead time, meaning it takes them a long time to get code into production, are also very likely to struggle with restoring service quickly when something goes wrong. And on the flip side, the teams that are really fast at getting code into production are also very good at recovering quickly from incidents.
So it's not a trade-off. You don't have to sacrifice speed for stability or vice versa. Now, the report digs into some factors that might be contributing to these trends in performance. Let's talk about the number of DevOps technologies a team is using.
This is really interesting. It turns out there's a strong positive correlation between the number of DevOps technologies a developer uses and their likelihood of being a top performer across all three DORA metrics. Now, using more tools doesn't automatically make you an elite performer, but what's really striking is that it significantly reduces your chances of being a low performer. It seems that having a wider range of tools and practices helps teams tackle the different challenges that come up throughout the software delivery process.
So a diverse toolkit is key.
Yeah.
What about the teams that are only using a very limited number of tools?
The data is pretty clear. Those who are only using one DevOps technology have a much higher rate of being a low performer across all three DORA metrics. It really highlights the importance of having a well-rounded set of tools to address all aspects of software delivery, from development to deployment to monitoring.
So it's not just about doing some DevOps, it's about doing it comprehensively. Now let's focus specifically on CI/CD tools.
The report really drives home the point that using CI/CD tools, whether they're managed services or self-hosted solutions, is linked to better deployment performance across all the DORA metrics. Developers who use these tools are more likely to be top performers and less likely to be low performers compared to those who aren't using any CI/CD tools. Automating your build, test, and deployment processes is clearly a good move.
That's a strong argument for adopting CI/CD tools.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between using managed services versus self-hosted solutions?
There is, and it's a fascinating one. The data actually shows that the best performance comes from using both managed and self-hosted CI/CD tools. They seem to complement each other really well. It might be because they offer different advantages. Managed services are easy to set up and scale, and self-hosted solutions give you more control and customization. Using both gives you the best of both worlds and helps you understand your delivery pipeline more deeply.
So it's not an either situation. It's about finding the right balance. But what if you go all in on one type of tool and use multiple of those, like using several different self-hosted CI/CD platforms?
That's where things can get tricky. Using multiple CI/CD tools of the same kind, particularly multiple self-hosted platforms, actually correlates with worse performance. It's likely because you end up with more complexity and potential compatibility issues between those systems.
So doubling down on one type of tool might not be the best strategy. What about using multiple managed CI/CD platforms?
The negative impact isn't as strong as with multiple self-hosted platforms, but using multiple managed platforms can still increase your chances of being a low performer, although the effect varies a bit depending on the DORA metric. It seems that even with managed services, having to manage multiple separate systems can outweigh the benefits.
Complexity seems to be the enemy here. Keeping things streamlined is important. Now let's talk about the final factor that the report examines, developer experience. How does that affect software delivery performance?
This is a really important one. The data clearly shows that the more experienced developers have, the more likely they are to be top performers across all three DORA metrics. They tend to have shorter lead times, higher deployment frequencies, and faster recovery times compared to their less experienced colleagues.
That makes sense. Experienced developers probably have a better grasp of best practices and what to avoid. What specifically is contributing to this difference?
Well, sure, experience and knowledge play a role, but there's another factor that's a bit worrying. New developers aren't adopting DevOps practices and technologies as quickly. They're using fewer tools and participating in fewer DevOps activities compared to more experienced folks. This lack of early exposure and engagement could slow down their development and ultimately hold back the whole team.
So it's not just about individual experience, it's about creating an environment where new developers can learn and use DevOps effectively from the start. What about the impact of experience on the likelihood of being a low performer?
That's where we see a huge difference. The more experienced developers have, the less likely they are to be low performers. For example, when it comes to lead time for code changes, the least experienced developers are almost twice as likely to be low performers compared to the most experienced developers. We see a similar trend for deployment frequency and time to restore service, sometimes even more dramatic. This really shows how important it is to have experience using DevOps practices and tools to avoid those pitfalls.
That really underscores the need to not only bring in experienced developers, but also to make sure that newer developers are properly onboarded, trained, and integrated into DevOps workflows, give them the tools and support they need to succeed.
Exactly. The report suggests that this gap could be because teams aren't always aligned on processes, or maybe newer developers aren't as familiar with how things work in the organization. The knowledge and techniques that experienced developers use to achieve better performance aren't always being shared or standardized effectively across the whole team.
Well, this has been a really fascinating look at the current state of software delivery performance. It's clear that while DevOps is incredibly popular, just adopting it doesn't automatically lead to better results. Things like the number and type of tools you're using, as well as the experience level of your developers, play a huge role.
You said it. The big takeaway is that DevOps isn't a magic solution, it's a journey. You need to be strategic about how you implement it, making sure you're using a good range of tools in a smart way. And you absolutely have to invest in your team, especially newer developers, so everyone has the knowledge and skills to thrive in a DevOps environment.
Absolutely. So for everyone listening, think about how you can strike that balance. Embrace the power of DevOps tools, but make sure your whole team understands how to use them effectively and work together seamlessly. That's how you'll unlock faster, more reliable software delivery.
And remember, this is an ongoing process. The software development world is constantly changing, so you need to stay flexible and adapt your approach as needed.
Great advice. And for all of you listening, as you think about your own work and your own organizations, where do these insights resonate the most? What are the areas where you can apply this knowledge to make a real impact? It's worth taking some time to reflect on that.
Absolutely. Continuous improvement is the name of the game.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. Until next time, keep learning, keep experimenting, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible with software delivery.
And keep diving deep.